for another edition of Ride It Home, brought home to you by University of Iowa Community Credit Union, your community, your credit union.
That's right.
The sounds of the Sopranos this morning.
That was kind of neat. I mean, it's nice listening to some, you know, obviously old TV shows from way back when, but I don't know, man. This Ride It Home theme just kind of like, the sitar is kind of faded into the background,
kind,
man.
Kind of dark here.
I think it's great.
Kind of dark. Speaking of dark.
That's right.
I don't want to call it threatening. Frightening. Attempt to frighten me.
Yeah.
Email from Zillow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why I'm getting Zillow emails.
Well.
But I got one.
You must have signed in at some point. You must have been looking at something online.
I did. I actually was looking in Lubbock.
Right.
And because I saw a house when I was visiting there, I wanted to see how much that house was worth.
Sure.
So I looked it up on Zillow. And now I get like all this stuff from Zillow all the time.
Right.
Like at least once a week. And they sent this thing that says, your home is not as worth what it was or whatever. It's your the value of your home has dropped. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
What did I do?
Well, the answer is you did nothing except give them your email, which was probably a mistake.
And then they say, yeah, but we need more information on your home in order to get this information correct if you think there's a problem. And I'm like, what?
Right. So, I mean, it's also, so there's a couple of things. I mean, this is largely opinion and experience based. Let me be clear about that.
This is only based in reality. In
right.
Fact.
My reality.
That's
yes.
Right. All right.
But you're starting to see a lot more caching of our information, amongst the real estate marketing companies that do this. Right. And it's something that pretty much every major real estate brokerage is guilty of. Zillow, Trulia, which is owned by Zillow, Realtor.com, which is owned by News Corp, Homes.com, RealEstate.com, which is also a Zillow company. And what they're doing is there's been an advent of artificial intelligence that they've been putting into real estate models and into real estate contact management. So these companies buy a significant amount of information. Some of it they purchase. I mean, they outright purchase it. They buy it from MLSs. They buy it from state, you know, county, national data sources like our assessor's office, you know.
How much do they pay for this?
I don't know.
That would be an interesting little segment to do.
Yeah,
how
no.
How much money does the county get from all these?
That'd be a great. I mean, next time you have a, you know, maybe a new supervisor in here, it'd be a good question for him.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to set anybody up for failure on that, but
and where does that money go?
Yeah, I have no idea. But no, I mean this is the sort of thing where this information, it's public information.
Is my tinfoil hat on straight?
No.
Okay.
No, yeah, you're kind of growing one on your own there, aren't you?
It is.
And what happens is this information, which is all of our assessed information, right? Which is so like think about that. How much they say that your house is not necessarily worth, but what its assessed value is, which is also different than actual market value, by the way. And assessed values, representation of value from the assessor based on what they feel your taxable value is. So what they can actually tax to be able to collect that money. So a little bit different than actual market value, right? Even an appraised value is going to be a different value too from, you know, an appraiser. And a market value from a real estate agent. So, you know, all very different in what values are. Similar in nature, but, you know, their end result and their instruments are a little bit different. So, but as they collect this information, so they can kind of tell what houses are closing for, you know, how much they're selling for, that information also goes to the assessor with your name, address, and everything else. So, quite frankly, they could actually archive that into their information that they obtain and hold on to, even about you, Tim. And so, yeah. So, you end up with now an idea by a real estate marketing company like Zillow saying, hey, you know, if we can accumulate as much information as possible about each individual consumer, we're going to have a larger, not just a pool of information to be able to resell to real estate agents, which is typically how they used to make their money, but they can also use that to potentially, you know, I mean, and I'm not trying to make a statement about what they are or are not doing, but potentially it could be used to even control the market to some degree as to when a market, you know, is, you know, beginning and ending, or you know, how much influence it has from outside sources to, you know, kind of like, hey, everybody, your house is worth less. Maybe you need to update your information with us so that it can be kind of brought back up again. And so the nature of what the market is begins to change. If that makes sense.
But that strikes me as, blackmail is such a terrible word. Let's use extortion.
Well, that's really kind of more on how most of the real estate marketing companies treat real estate agents, actually. So, for example, I mean, I pay thousands of dollars a month to Zillow every month.
But I'm saying, you know, so Zillow has my house listed. They're telling me, well, this is what we have your house listed for. So that's what people are going to see if they go to that, unless you give us more information that we could change that, make it look more valuable.
Right.
That's extortion.
I'm not going to make that statement. You can.
I will.
But, yeah. No, it's not something.
You'll just agree with it.
It's not something that I have a lot of. It doesn't make me happy. Yeah. No, it's kind of, yeah. And Realtor.com, which is not owned by the realtors, it's not owned by the National Association of Realtors. It was sold by the National Association of Realtors to News Corp. And several years ago. And they're starting to now kind of enter a little bit different, a little friendlier, but they're starting to enter into more of an AI atmosphere, and their marketing approach to realtors has also changed dramatically from once a very friendly platform, very expensive, but very friendly platform, to something that's actually a bit more complicated and kind of convoluted, but yet also, you know, there's a bit more quid pro quo in it, like Zillow has as well. I know it's a hard thing to think of, especially, you know, people are thinking about trying to sell their houses and they're like, oh my gosh, I gotta like stick all that out there for the world. But obviously you want them to have it. If there's a tool that you can utilize, you want your house to sell, right?
Right.
You want that buyer to find it, you know, whether that buyer's on the other side of the world or whether he lives across the street, who really cares, you know, usually is the answer that most sellers are having, unless it's something that's historically significant or 10 generation family, whatever, you know, there's all these different pieces that kind of fall into that. Now, it also is a little, from the buyer's side though, they're the ones that everything has been really focused on for that marketing. Because it's like, who are you marketing this to? You're not marketing it to other sellers, right? Or at some point you're going to have to, because, you know, most buyers begin as a seller somewhere else.
Right.
But now, rather than just accumulating that buyer information, and you're starting to see them do that with the seller information now. And so they can collect as much seller info as possible, even prior to list, prior to sale. More information that's, you know, in and around, you know, a certain area even. So one of the problems that these technologies are having is the way in which they integrate over rural America. So, because quite frankly, our market's still pretty insular, especially comparatively speaking to like even Des Moines or, you know, Iowa City, or like Madison, Wisconsin, or Rochester, Minnesota. I mean, you know, it's a really, really, really different market, and it's not big enough to be able to kind of still take the big box model that they're using to be able to create predictions for it, to be able to sell that information, resell it, repackage it to real estate companies, you know, other marketing companies to be able to buy. Now, this is something that's not a new thing. This has been happening a long time. Not necessarily within Zillow, particularly, or Trulia, or Realtor, but it's been happening within commercial real estate for quite some time. And so commercial real estate is the like Zillow has a Zillow and Realtor also has a pretty large presence, largely dominated by one real estate marketing company called LoopNet. And in some places, it essentially functions, no kidding, as almost an MLS for real estate agents to be able to utilize, because they're, you know, this is like the most centralized place to be able to find this information pretty much within the country. There's some other ones too, like Crexi, C-R-E-X-I, and there's a couple of other smaller real estate, like Remax Commercial has a pretty good one. I Have a Realty. Has actually a decent commercial website. That's not, but I mean, they're nothing like these other ones. What LoopNet will do is they'll call real estate agents. They'll stalk them. It just drives me up a wall. And so, I mean, as I actually sell quite a bit of commercial real estate, and they'll call me as much as once a week to make sure that the information on my listing is current. And I'm like, yeah, it was current when I put it up. It's current right now. And so, so they will also create suggestions like, I think you should also market this property. And so there's kind of a deep dive within the information that they're purchasing to be able to go out and not necessarily just make kind of the, you know, an upsell, but to make a tertiary sell, right? A lateral sale in continued marketing and the continued influence and within their, you know, kind of larger acquisition of more and more data. So it's, yeah, no, I mean, we're in the tinfoil suits. We're past the hats. They all want to know what we're doing all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Installing the app on your phone. Well, you kind of just open that up for that. You know, do you have a Zillow or a Realtor app on your phone? Yeah. You should probably take a closer look at that, like, privacy disclosure they have on there. Maybe you want to look at your preferences to see, they're probably also tracking your movement because they want to see where and how you go, right? Like, do they have an email for you? Like, do you sign into Zillow when you search, or do you sign into realtor.com when you search? And if you do that, that information is being tracked. If you sign into your Remax account, quite frankly, I mean, they do. I mean, Realtor and Zillow will send me a report telling me what everybody looked at. I mean, yeah, it's a little creepy, but I wish that the information about like what they were was a bit more public. But you know, I mean, that's not it. I mean, it's about the ease of it, right?
Right.
It's about the ease of being able to make a quick thing, a quick choice, quick search, or sometimes your search results don't make any sense, right? Like, let's just say you open up your Zillow app and the stuff that's on it, is it brand new or is it, you know, is it sponsored material that is being paid to be put to the front?
Yeah, you get that a lot when you do a search on anything, right, Google, I mean, or whatever. You look at, because they'll say ad. You'll see the thing that says it's either ad or sponsored.
Right.
But yeah.
Well, and then even within like real estate marketing, so like the AdWorks campaign. So like we actually do something which is pretty incredible that nobody else does, which is, and I'm not, this isn't a plug for us, I'm just saying, but this is something that we do, which is right within that digital marketing, which is, everybody gets an actual digital ad just for their house that goes right up, and it's on like CNN, it's on Fox, it's on, this gigantic chunk of sites with just this house off to the side from people within a certain zip code, you know what I mean? Or take who are looking, people who have ties to a certain zip code. You'd be surprised. I mean, if someone's doing a routine search in a certain area, that's all being cached. I mean, Google's obviously saving this as well and utilizing this stuff as well. I mean, Apple is obviously a piece of that as well, but they're not so much into the search functions as they are into the use function. But this all intersects. I mean, yeah. No, I know. It's hard not to think about this and not want to wear a tinfoil hat all day.
I'm just trying to figure out, how do I get off the grid now?
Well, you need to, like...
Stop looking at Zillow.
Right. It's open right now on your phone, dude. I mean,
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I was just looking to see how much you sold your house for.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Like 134 or something.
Yeah, exactly 134.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
That came up.
Yeah, I had a good agent.
Yeah. We're right at home. We're going to crunch some numbers when we return here. You're right at home on 1410 KGRN. Brought to you by University of Iowa Community Credit Union. Your community, your credit union.
University of Iowa Community Credit Union is the number one mortgage lender in Iowa. That's because they offer low rates, no 1% origination fee, and 100% financing. For residents living in Grinnell and the surrounding areas, they also have a local mortgage expert right in Grinnell. Aaron Black has 17 years of mortgage experience and is ready to serve you from their office at 705 6th Avenue in downtown Grinnell. Contact Aaron at 236-1801 or online at uiccumortgage.com to get started with your purchase and refinance mortgage loan. UICCU is an equal housing lender.
Back on Right at Home with Matt Cardzolotti as we crunch the numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I haven't been actually look at them. I'm going to just look at November's real quickly here. So, November was an interesting month. It was strange. We had some decent production, but it was still a little bit lower than prior years. What actually impressed me was the average sale price of $158,000. And that's everything within Poweshiek County and then Eastern Jasper County. And of last year, we were at 155. Now, that little price change from 155 to 158, that actually does indicate something. That actually indicates our market's slower. Sounds crazy. So the busier our market is, the lower the average price rate. It comes down, and that's just because of how rural we are. Now, if we're in a major city, that would go the other direction. But, yeah, I know. And that was for a total of... 26 closings, and which is actually three more than last year. However, our pendings were quite a bit different as well. We had 24 pendings, 56 new listings, and 23 pendings, 26 new listings, and with an average days on market of 61 days. And whereas last year, we're all within about 10% of each of those. Except the average days on market was actually quite a bit longer at 100 days even, actually. So November's numbers were odd, but it was still a pretty healthy month, certainly very sporadic at times. This last couple of weeks, however, we had several closings come through. We had 9 closings here the last 7 days. Which is up significantly from the prior week of 3. That third week in November, we actually had 11 closings come through. So there were some really decent numbers for a really slow month and a really low inventory, seasonally. However, we also had, our weather wasn't that bad. It wasn't great. We had some significant rain, but we didn't really have really significant cold. Or anything that was really crippling as far as several feet of snow or anything like that. We have not had any major winter events. So that's definitely a contributor. Our new listings going into December are pretty low. So this is our first week of December, and we had 6 new listings come on the market. And that pretty much is the total from the last 3 weeks put together. So, I mean, there's not that many. Our new days on market are... for the average days on market for that time right now, we're at about 3 and 5 from the previous week. So we actually had some new inventory come back on. There's probably a couple of horse changers in there too, where, it's like, oh, this guy didn't sell my house, I need to list it with this guy now, kind of thing. And generally speaking, it doesn't really make that much of a difference. Presentation is really more valuable than usually sometimes that human and just getting somebody in there. Comparatively speaking, though, over the last couple of years, we've seen... quite the change. And so our November numbers from 2016, $193,000 was the average sale price. So, and that was a slow month. We only had 9 closings that month. But that's an example of, like, you'll see those numbers rise as the prices drop. And then you'll see those numbers do the opposite when, prices go up. So,
all right.
Yeah.
And you'll find all this online at myiowainfo.com, where this will also be archived for you can relive this.
Posterity.
That's it. And coming up next week, maybe we'll talk about the future.
Yeah, we could do that.
We'll talk about
do some futurists.
Well, you see where markets and rates and everything are going to be going. Kind of look into the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, yeah, it's going to be a little gloom and doom on the horizon, but also quite a bit of change. So, yeah.
All right. So we'll do that next week, and I'll do it for this edition of Right at Home. Brought home to you by University of Iowa Community Credit Union. Your community, your credit union. For Matt Cargelotti, I'm Tim Dill for 1410 KGRN.
This is Market Matters on Friday, December 7th. We are on the final day.